אחד קודם על הלילים אל החול המשך. רואי. So a few short notices before we start the shiur today. It is only natural approaching Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Today we will be discussing some Inyone Pesach and Inyone Diyoma. And next week we will have the shiur once again, and that'll be a day after Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Regarding 2 weeks' time, we have time to decide that. But next week we will have a shiur. The shiur today is dedicated Li'ilui Nishmas Ha'isha HaChashuva Yente Bas Rabbi Yisrael Chaim. Today was her yahrzeit, and that is the late mother of my dear friend Rav Bronstein from Borough Park. And our friendship goes back far before he or I were born, and my father and his father were friends in Salish, going back in pre-Holocaust years. And they were friends after the war. So our friendship, as I said, goes back far before we both were born. So the title we're learning today should be Le'ilui Nishmas, your mother. Moris Yente Basra Bisur Chaim, Shetenuch B'Sholom HaMashkov, Shetiyah Melitz Yoisho. For the entire family, you should all know Simcha and Naches. And one more dedication, Moras Gittel, Bas Reb Zandel Doiv, whose yahrzeit is tonight, and that is the mother of one of my dear friends in New York, who was a great supporter of Torah, Reb David Weinstein, who supports Torah and Chesed, and he's a wonderful young Talmud Chochem, and his mother, Moris Gittel, Bas Reb Zandel Doiv, Tenuch V'Sholom HaMashkov, and she'd be a Melitz Yoshev for the family. And they should have so much simcha and naches from their children. Today we will be discussing an extremely relevant sugya. And why do I say the sugya is so relevant? The topic we will be discussing is the Issa and Kitnias Lebnei Ashkenaz. Looking at the item we have here every Sunday night, most of you seem to be Ashkenazi. At least the majority of the people sitting here, and I know some of your names. And I know that recently, in the past few years, there are some elements of our society that are starting to question the Issur of Kitnias, and some Rabbonim say that today it is no longer relevant and one could be Mekel, and I think that is a grave mistake. And so today, first part of the shiur, we will be discussing the concept, the Issur of Kitnias, and in the second part of the shiur, maybe some analysis on the importance of Minhagei Yisroel generally. So the concept of Kitnias goes back approximately 1,000 years. And I say approximately because nobody really knows when the Minhag originated. The early sources we find are Trumas Adeshen and Simekuf Yud Gimel, the Mordechai in Perek Arvei Psochim, and some other early Rishonim. And those Rishonim do not quote a clear source who was metaken this Isser. Obviously, it wasn't really a takana, but rather a minag. So if we're dealing with takanas, we should know who made this takana. Was it Chachmei Mishnah, Chachmei Gemara, the Geoinim? We would like to have a name. Who was metaken this takana? But bearing in mind that, according to most sources, it's a minag and not a takana, and sometimes minhagim are established by popular consent and not by certain Chachmei Yisrael who decided this will be the minig. But the early sources indicate that it's approximately 1,000 years. We find no mention of the Issur Kitnias in Chazal, neither in Mishnah nor in Gemara. It seems to be clear from Chazal that chometz is only relevant when we're dealing with chameishes minadogim. If I'm not mistaken, in English, it would be wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye. Yeah? It's a miracle that I remember these strange names. But Chameshas min adogen boim ledei chimutz. Anything else can never become chometz. But minhag Ashkenaz is to abstain from consuming kidneys. We find two different reasons in the Rishonim. What is the reasoning? What is the rationale behind the issur of kidneys? One is similar to a gzeira. Osi le'ichlufei. What do kidneys, beans, and associated family have in common with grains, with chameshas min adogen? Their usage and the way they're used and consumed. So in many vicinities, countries, and towns in Eastern Europe, wheat was expensive, not always available. And most of the bread they ate was from corn. Even my parents tell me, what?
In Ashkenaz, there was no corn. Corn is from the New World, it's from America.
Well, for the past 500 years, right, there was corn in Ashkenaz. So in Eastern Europe, my parents tell me most of the bread they ate was made of corn, not of chameshas min adogen. So because these substances were used in a similar fashion as chameshas min adogen, then people might confuse this bread and that bread. And if we will permit consuming baked items or cereals, cereal was made of corn, it was made out of rice, just like it was made out of barley or out of oats. And therefore, mechashash, shemi yavo lahachlif, people might confuse this cereal with that cereal, this bread with that bread. That is why minhag Ashkenaz was to stay away from kidneys. The other reasoning, the other rationale was, many times you went to the marketplace and bought a sack of corn or a sack of rice, and when you examined your purchase, you found quite a few kernels, which might be chito or se'oiro. And I was told that that is even common today, because usually the fields of rice are close to the fields of wheat, and they resemble each other, and therefore there was a chashash of tarovis. And both reasons and both approaches are mentioned in Tumas Edeshon, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, and in many other Rishonim, including the Bes Yosef and Simen Tov Nun Gimel. So the Bes Yosef totally disregards the Issur of Kidneys, and that is why Sfaradim know nothing about the Issur of Kidneys, and in the most from Swahili families, they consume and they enjoy kidneys on Pesach. But the Ramah, when the Bes Yosef writes that one could cook kidneys, the Ramah says, Yesh oisim, v'kach minhag Ashkenaz v'ein l'shanos. So the Ramah does embrace the Issur of Kidneys, and that is why Ashkenazim for the past 1,000 years are very harsh about the Issur of Kidneys and Sfaradim Mamekel. So one of the common problems we have today, that to my dismay in the yeshivish world, there still is an iron curtain dividing Sfaradim from Ashkenazim, and it is very uncommon that Ashkenazi Ben Torah would take his son-in-law as Sfaradi. But in many parts and many segments of from society, and I say that's a blessing, Baruch Hashem, you know, Sfaradi and Ashkenazi youngsters are integrated, and many people have sons-in-laws or daughters-in-laws, Sfaradi families with Ashkenazi immigrants, or Ashkenazi families with Sephardi, an influx of Sephardi blood, Baruch Hashem. I wish it would be more common. And then the question comes up, could we eat kidneys? Can't we eat kidneys? So not long ago, a wonderful Talmud Chacham, who was so precious to me, and he's Sephardi, and he has five Ashkenazi son-in-laws. And he says, well, when they come to me, could they eat kidneys? And I say, they're the majority. You're in a quite obvious minority. So why would they eat kidneys and adopt your minig? Maybe it should go the other way around. So I would like to discuss. So as we said, the earliest sources of kidneys clearly say that is minig Ashkenaz, Tzumas edition, Mordechai, the Mechaber is Matyo, Sif Aleph Simetof Nun Gimel, and the Ramo says, Ba'ashkenaz Nagul Hachmio, Ve Ein Lishanot. However, the Ramo writes, in three different areas, Kitnius is different than Chameshis Minei Dogen. And all three halachas are based on that very same tshuva in Tumas Edeshen. Yes?
I want to say, the North African Spartans do not also deny kidneys. My wife's Moroccan. The people from Morocco, Algeria, they don't need kidneys. Only the East.
Okay, so first of all, I'm happy to hear that your wife is Moroccan. And what? I'm happy to hear that your wife is Moroccan. Okay, I know the Moshe for quite a while. Yes. It is interesting to note that many Moroccan communities adopted many Ashkenazi minhagim, unlike other Sephardi communities. But many Moroccan communities adopted various different minhagim, which are minhag Ashkenaz and minhag Kitnias as well. But I think Ashkenazim are more machmir in the details, what we define as Kitnias. I think Moroccans don't eat rice, But many things that Ashkenazim stay away from, maybe Moroccans would eat, but I'm not so familiar. Okay, so the Namo Paskins, there are three basic differences between kitnias and grains that could become chametz. One is kitnias, einoy oiserem nofal toich hatavshil. That means kitnias doesn't aser a tafshil. Number two, there is no isa hanoa from kitnias. Chometz of Pesach osa banoa. You could take shemen kitnias and use it to light Yom Tov Lecht or Shabbos Lecht because it's not osa bahanoa, unlike chometz. The chumra of kitnias is only regarding achila, not hanoa. So one could light candles from shemen shel kitnias. Number three, you don't have to sell kitnias. You don't have to discard or burn kitnias. There is no isser lo yeroa v'bal yamotza. And the Tumas Edeshen, who is the source of all three halachas, clearly says, even if the origin and the reasoning of the isser would be chashash taroivis dogon, and one could argue, if our chashash is there might be grain in the kidneys, so why wouldn't it aser a tafshel? Nevertheless, because it's only a chashash rochek and it's a minag, lo nahagu lachmiya elo be'ein, but it doesn't aser a tafshel. So these three halachas are not dependent on the reasoning, on either of the two different reasons that Ashkenazim are machmir b'kitnias. It is not only if the reason is a chashash shema yavo l'hachlef, even if the reason where machmir is chashash taroives, nevertheless, the minig is only to be machmir regarding eating kitnias b'ein, but not doesn't aser tafshel. There is no isa noah and there is no isa baliro b'animosa. It is interesting to note, and I can't explain why, but in Shuvas Divrei Malkiel, Chelek Dalet Simchov Beis, we find the Shtar Mechira that the Divrei Malkiel used, and he was one of the greatest Gedolim in Lithuania. He was the Rav in Lomsha, the Malkiel Terebaum was his name. He was a great Poisik, and in Chelek Dalet Simchov Beis, we find the Shtar Mechira that he used by Mechiras Chometz, and in that Shtar he sells kidneys. Which is strange, because the Ramo, quoting the Tumas Edeshen, say there is no issa to have kitnias in your home. And the explanation must be, well, after all, if the chumra is based on a chashash taroivis dogon, then maybe even though it's not a basic halachic requirement, it's not a chiyuv, but there's room to understand why one would sell kitnias, but as that is not found in any poisik, so it is a chiddush, the shtar mechira of the Divrei Malkiel, kitnias are included. In my shtar mechira, I specifically and intentionally discluded kitnias because the Ramo and the major poskim say one does not have to sell kitnias, so I do not put it into my personal shtar mechira. So the Issa Kitnias, I already made this comment before, is that at the Kona or Haminag, we find Lishoines Mischalfen, Chuvas Chasam Soifer, Chaim Kufchov Beis, he speaks about a Takona. But it is more reasonable to assume that we're dealing with a minag and not a Takona. As I said before, this Takona doesn't have a father. And the Rishonim in which we find is speak more about a minag. And it is not miyuchas to any one of the great Rishonim. It definitely was established after Chasimus HaTalmud, either in the days of the Gaonim or in the days of the Rishonim. But it should be probably defined as a minag more than as a takona, even though minhogim are binding. Let's make this very clear. We find twice in Shas, Chulin Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, and in Psochim Daf Nun. Psochim Daf Nun, we're dealing with about a minig regarding Gerev Shabbos. Bnei Baishan abstained from traveling from Tzor to Tzidon Erev Shabbos. Tzor and Tzidon are two towns in Lebanon, in northern Israel, and they're quite close one to another. I think it's 20 kilometers between Tzor and Tzidon, 20 or 25 kilometers. And by boat, shouldn't take that long. And Bnei Baishan abstained from traveling from Tzor to Tzidon Erev Shabbos, as a Chumra and as a Hiras, B'chilul Shabbos. And their children came before Rabbi Yochanan, and they said, our parents were rich, they were wealthy, they could afford it, but we need to take advantage of the marketplace on Erev Shabbos. So are we binded by this minig? And Rabbi Yochanan told them, minig avisecham biyodechem, shema abini musarachichu v'altet eshtore semecho. So we learn from this Gemara that minhogim are binding based on the posik in Mishlei, shema abini musarachichu v'altet eshtore semecho, and Rabbi Yochanan is the one, once again, in Chulin Tzadik Gimel, that quotes the same posik regarding a minig in the area of Macholas Asuras of Eva Menachayim. Rabbi Yochanan says the minig is Machayiv, Shema Avinimus Avichu, Va'al Titus Toys Amechu. So the fact that I say that is a minig does not mean that there is room for kula or for leniency. Some Rishonim and Poskim maintain that the Issur of Kitnias is only relevant if Kitnias was exposed to water or to moisture. If it would be chameishes min adogin, there would be a chashash chometz. But Chazal didn't prohibit chameishes min adogin. After all, we eat matzahs. And all our matzahs must be dogon. So how could kidneys be more chomer than grain? We eat matzahs. So if we wash those kidneys and don't expose them to water or to moisture, why would they be also? Tumas Edeshan seems clearly to say, in that case, there would be no Issa. Kitnias is only Issa in those circumstances, in those conditions. If it would be Dogon, we would have a Chometz problem. So even though Kitnias Me'ikar Adin is not Chometz, but we're Machmer, but Kitnias, as if they would be proper grains. But why would Kitnias be off limits if grain is not off limits? But the lesson of the Ramo indicates, and that is the opinion of all later poskim, no, kidneys is different. Chazal couldn't prohibit grain because you wouldn't have matzahs. But when the minig was to stay away from kidneys, it's across the board. And we stay away from kidneys in any form, whether they were exposed to water or to moisture, or were not exposed, even in those conditions, if it would be grains, there would be no chashash. We would eat it. Kidneys, it's a paradox. But kidneys are chomer tvei than dogon, than actually dogon. But that is minig Ashkenaz. Now, not all the gedolim Ashkenazim were happy about kidneys. Let us make this very clear. Rabbi Yankev Emden was very unhappy about the minig of kidneys, and he voices his dissent in Moirik Tzio. First of all, we must know the personality. Rabbi Yankev Emden was in no way a conformist, and he always voiced his opinions loud and clear, sometimes even quite harsh language. And the Moirik Tzio, he writes that those Gedolim that Asad Kitnius are Asad Litnus Adin, and it says Chumre de Osele de Kula, and Ii Yasher Cheli Avatlinu. And he quotes his father that was very unhappy about the Isra of Kitnius, the Chacham Tzvi. However, what is more important is that Yaakov Emden lets out a lot of steam. But at the end of the day, he understood that this is an Issa which he cannot fight. So why were the Chacham Tzvi and Rabbi Yaakov Emden so unhappy about the Issa of Kitnius? In many ways, Achshar Dora. From life today is far more established, regulated, and has its form and substance. Kashas is no longer in the domain of every Rav and his shtetl, which is a mala and a chasaron. I think it's more mala than chasaron. So once, matzahs were produced not by huge industries and matzah bakeries. Every little town made its matzahs. Not only every little town. Many households kashered their ovens, and they baked matzahs in the same oven all year, baked bread. Even when there was a matzah bakery in most little towns, it was the same bakery that all year produced bread, and the Rav kashered the oven and he made matzahs. There were very few professionals in the production of matzahs because Jews lived in little towns, and sometimes there was barely a minyan in a town. There was no mass communications and transportations, and the machshoilas in matzahs were huge and very, very common. The biggest michshel on Pesach were the matzahs. And sometimes the people that produced those matzahs were not professionals, and there was no proper pikuach and supervision. And the biggest michshel was matzahs. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Chacham Tzvi, and even the Chasam Sofer voices this bad feeling that the Issa of Kitnius brings to Mechsholos and Chometz bePesach, because if people would eat their Kitnius bread on Pesach, there would be no chashash of chametz. But when we asked Kitnius, and the only thing people could eat to satisfy their hunger is matzahs, and there were very many mechsholos of matzahs. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Chacham Tzvi, and even the Chasam Sofer expresses his feeling, if all we would need is a kazayis matzah leleila seder and a kazayis for afrikoymen, there would be less chashash michshol in the matzahs that were baked. Today, this chashash is not really relevant. Everybody today could have matzahs mahadran mina mahadran without any chashash pikpuk, but some gedolim, even Ashkenazi gedolim, were unhappy about the Issa of Kitnius. But what is more noteworthy, as I said before, is none of them dared to even try to be Matner Kitnius, even though they felt that the heter for Kitnius would probably save many from Cheshash Chometz bePesach, which is an Issa Koros, an Issa Chomer. So this just proves how serious Ashkenazi Gedolim and Ashkenazi communities took the Issa of Kitnius. B'som Emroish, Shin Memches, is the only one of the Gedolim, if we consider him one of the Gedolim. So Shas Hashuv is B'som Emroshim Emches. Miyuchas to the Rosh, 250 years ago, somebody printed a Sefer B'Somem Rosh, and he claimed that these are tshuvas from the Rosh and some other Rishonim, B'nei Doiroi, contemporaries of the Rosh. And that Sefer at Choshev Askomis, one of them was from the Noi de Biyud, the Gadol Hador. But Reb Mordechai Benet, and I'm an Einikel, Reb Mordechai Benet was one of my great Zaydis going back many generations. He immediately sensed that this is a forgery, that there's nothing authentic about the Sefer, and it's a bluff and a lie. And Reb Mordechai Benet not only argued that it's forged documents, he also argued that there are tshuvas she'ein ruach hachomem noichem mehem, And there's a Shemes Minus in this Sefer, and he declared total war against the Psamim Rosh. There's a Tshuva Chassam Sefer in which he brings Sefer Kizbei HaRosh with a Zion, and some publishers at later generations wanted to thought that it's a Torah Satfus. It was not a Torah Satfus. It's not that the Zion is Chalaf Betof. There's some Sefer intention, and he called the Sefer Kizbei HaRosh. In our day and age, you can't get away with lies, and you can't get away with forgeries. Once again, it is just because the world is far more learned and connected today. Nobody could get away with such a stupid bluff as the Besomim Rosh, or the Yerushalmi and Kochim, which had haskomes from many Gedolim, and it was proven to be a bluff. So today, we know beyond doubt that the Besomim Rosh is a forgery. So Shir Memches, he's asked about Kitnius, and he says, how come we don't know who was Matakan this Tekona? And he guesses that in all the Girushim of Jews and the exiles and the Golos and Karoim infiltrated our ranks, and the Minig of Kitnius comes from the Karaim and from the Tzedokim, because they didn't have the Mesodis of Chazal, and to them bread was bread, no matter what it was made of, whether it was made of grain or corn, and to them everything was chometz, and the minig of kitnius comes from the karaim. That is what the Psamim Rosh writes. But the Beis Meir quotes the Psamim Rosh, and he says this only proves that this sefer is not authentic. It says nothing about kitnius. This tshuva only proves that the sefer is totally unreliable, because all Gedolei Ashkenaz embrace this minig. So that is beyond doubt. The Maram Shik, Tshuvas, Or HaChaim, Reish Mem Aleph, writes that our minig is, even if somebody cooks kitnius in his home for little children, for the ill, he should have separate kalim, which is a chiddush. But that is the minig quoted by the Maram Shik. But the Ramos says that kitnius ain't a yoisa tafsho. But that is only b'diyevet. The lesson of the Ramos and the Tumas edition is, one should have separate kalim. Some years ago, I got a very desperate call about 1 o'clock in the afternoon at Erev Pesach. A lady called. She's having a lot of guests to the Seder. Her mother-in-law, father-in-law, the entire family is coming. And Baruch Hashem, she finished cooking yesterday night. This morning, she did put in some finishing touches. And she just realized that all the spices she used were not kosher l'Pesach. They were kosher, but some of them are chashash kitnius. And those are the spices she used in everything she cooked l'chavet Pesach. So I asked her whether you burned the chometz already. If you didn't burn the chometz yet, then first of all, burn all the wrappers that you have at home from those spices. Balya roeva, balya motza. Get rid of all the wrappers. And besides me and you, don't tell anybody about this mishap. About this mishap, and let it stay between me and you. And don't tell anybody, don't share this secret with anyone else in the family. Because the Ramo Paskin Zeinoy Oyser Satavshal. Yeshla Ayin. Einoy Oyser Satavshal B'mashehu. And is the kula just to say, Chometz Oyser B'mashehu. Kitnius has a din of other macholas asuris botel b'shishim. That is mashmin to a mesedeshin. And in that case, in our case, wouldn't help. Because spices are ovid litama. And what is nois in tam is not botel b'shishim. But the Choyk Yankiv, was one of the greatest achroinim, argues that the loshon of the Ramo, einoy oyser emnofer etoycha tafshil, and the Ramo doesn't say botel b'shishim. He doesn't say you need shishim. Mashma medivra Ramo, even if it is nois in tam and there's no shishim, it still would not answer. And that is the pshak of Shulchan Aruch Harav, following in the footsteps of Choyk Yankiv, and that's the psak of the Mishneh Brura, in accordance to the Choyk Yankiv. So b'shas adchak vaday yesh lohokel. Vaday yesh lohokel, because at the end of the day, even sufik derabonon lekulin, this is a minig, it's not an issur derabonon. And Moshe makes it very clear in various tshuvas, chelek aleph simen samach gimel hanigros Moshe, sofa kitnius lekula. So we definitely could rely on the Chok Yanker, Shulchan Aruch Harav, Mishneh Brura, and other achronim, that even if it is nice and tam, kitnius doesn't asa the tavshel. So I told that lady, just let it stay between me and you. First thing you do, take all the wrappers and throw them away. Bal Yeroa, Bal Yamotza, and Yoichlu, Anovim, Viesbo, Kosher, LePesach, LeMahadrin, and that was my psak. Another question I would like to discuss was a person that suffers from celiac. And celiac is a disease which is various different degrees. People that suffer from celiac cannot eat grain. They cannot eat chameshes min hadavan. Some of them could tolerate shibboleth shual. I don't know in English which one would be shibboleth shual. Oats. Some of them would tolerate oats because it has less gluten than other grains. But some of them cannot tolerate shibboleth shual. So people that have celiac, and the biggest problem is matzah, b'leil ha-seder. So some of these people, if they consume even a gram of grain, they will feel it immediately and they will have extreme stomach pain and cramps. And some of them have milder side effects. Some of them will feel nothing. So my psak usually is, if you could tolerate, then eat a kezayis matzah. And as I made my opinion clear on Shalosh Tshuvos Minchas Osher Chelek Gimel, I do not remember which siman, but it definitely is in Chelek Gimel, I wrote a very important tshuva about Shiurei Torah, and I explained the two different sets and approaches to Shiurim, Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim Noah, and both opinions are based on a contradiction that we find between two different sets of shiurim. And I suggested suggestion number three. And my maskana is, b'mukum de'efshar, we all like to be frum, myself included, and I am makbid shiurei Chazon Ish. If you like matzah, why not? Go ahead. Chazon Ish was the greatest of the Gedolim in our era. But when it's a Shas Adchak, my clear opinion is a kezayis is a kezayis. Not more. And it's as simple as that. Sheer kezayis is an olive. Most of the olives sold and consumed today are quite small. So I do want to be a machmir, and that's why my psak is, Shir Kazayis is the bigger olives. Bigger olives. I would say it's roughly a half of an egg. You know, the bigger olives, not the very small ones. That is a Shir Kazayis. And when I eat cake, if it agrees with me, I eat a Chazon Ish here. If I bite into a piece of cake and it does not appeal to me, if I ate a shir kezayis, I would not hesitate to make a brocha me'ein sholosh. I would make an alamechia on a small piece of cake, which is as big as a kezayis, as the larger olives that are sold and consumed today, and I would make an alamechia. So therefore my psak is, if a person has difficulty eating matzah, if he could get away with a minimal shiur, he should eat a kezayis matzah with a brocha, al achilas matzah. If it's as big as the common zayis, not the very small ones, the bigger ones, he could make a brocha, al achilas matzah, v'yotz yidei chavosoi b'shas adchak. Bearing in mind, sofek brochas lakola, afal piken, I would be makel. But the question I want to discuss is not regarding matzah. So this person has celiac, and he says he's hungry all Pesach. How much eggs and potatoes could one eat? You know, in the average Haredi home, in the 7 days of Pesach, each member of the family eats 400 eggs and about 30 kilos of potatoes. If you ask any dietitian, it's not very healthy. Okay, so we assume, you know, it's L'shem Shemayim. We'll get away with it. It's once a year. But, you know, I see families buying 25 tablets of eggs, hundreds of eggs, 1,000 eggs that a family eats in 7 days, and so much potatoes. But this individual, he says, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, he was hungry all Pesach, and he suffered because he cannot eat matzahs and all the rest. You eat fruits, you eat vegetables, you eat a bit of potatoes, but he actually suffered all Pesach. Is there room for leniency regarding kidneys? And I think there definitely is. Chai Odom, Kufchov Zayin Sif Aleph writes, when he describes the Isser of kidneys, and like all the other Ashkenazi Gedolim, he writes, this is binding and this is an Isser and there's no room for leniency. However, B'sha'as adchak she'ein lo imale, choyel muta leva shel kidneys. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chai Odom without dissent. He doesn't bring any big book. Sif Kodin Zayin Tov Nun Gimel, Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chai Odom, and the same from the Moiruk Tzio from Rabbi Yankov Emden, B'mokam She'ein Loi Ma'alechol Muta Levashol Kidneys. What do they mean, B'mokam She'ein Loi Ma'alechol? Does it mean he has nothing at home? What, he doesn't have matzahs? I would assume they mean when he doesn't have tafshilim, and that is why they write Muta Levashol Kidneys. Which means he has matzah, he has dessert, but he has no cooked food. The main dish, it has nothing besides kidneys for the main dish. And the Chai Odom and the Mishnah Berurah are matir. I don't think it's reasonable to understand ein loy ma yoichal, he has nothing at home. What? If he has nothing to eat, he's going to die from hunger. Person can't fast 7 days. So I assume their kavona, b'mukam she'en l'malechal muta levashel kidneys. Why does he write muta levashel kidneys? Why doesn't he say muta lechal kidneys? I think what they mean is he probably has matzah. Every Jew has matzah. But he has no substantial food besides kidneys. Muta levashel kidneys. Sha'atzi and Siv Kotn Yud. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Yadua shekame gedoilem hekelu bishnas betzoyres. He doesn't quote sources. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes that gedoilem were mekel bishnas betzoyres. So once again, shnas betzoyres is a famine. But people eat. Most people don't die from hunger. I don't know precisely whom he means, but I am aware of two very substantial tshuvas from great poiskim. Shoyle Meshev, Madura Beis Chelek Dalat Simen Kuf Chof Ches. Shoyle Meshev writes, this year, he was the poisik ador in his time, Rabbi Yosef Shor Natanzon. He was the Rav in Lemberg, one of the great Gedolim of Gilitz, and he was the poisik ador. And he writes, this year, I don't know which year, Chaval, because it would be an interesting historical document. But the Shoyle Meshev usually doesn't write dates. But he writes, this year, there was a very bad financial state. And many of the rich members of our community, Yordu Menechaseyem. And we have a big problem with Kimcha de Pischa for the Aniyim. And he paskins, this year the Aniyim could eat kidneys, because we don't have enough to provide for the entire community. Because the financial situation is not good, and many of the wealthy members had a bad year. So his argument is, Emetiru lahachel es aniyim demai, demai is tevel midrabanan. Demai midrabanan necessitates a froshes tumas amaisis. So all you have to do is take off tumas amaisis. That's all. But Chazal were mekel ahachal es aniyim demai. Kal v'choyma, we could give for aniyim kidneys. That's what the Shoyle Meshev argues. One could say that's a shvacha argument. It's a takona miyochedes regarding the mai, because rov aniyam asim. None of the poiskim make a point. Maybe we could be machal la'aniyam other macholos asuras that are bonon. No, nobody ever paskened that basa of becholov is muter la'aniyam or tevel bizmanazeh. So Demai, for some reason, is an exception. And no poisek learns from Demai to be lenient with other macholos asuras that are born on by aniyim. But after all, that's the shoel ha'meisha. And one could argue, so maybe Demai is an exception, but kitnius is only a minig, and it's not reasonable that an issa that are born on would be more cooler than kitnius. After all, kitnius is not an issa d'rabbanan. It's a minag. A minag which was established in later generations. So if Chazal were makel by demai, why could be makel by kitnius? That's a shoel ha'meisha. The other, once again, is the Divrei Malkiel. Chelek Aleph Siman Chof Ches, he has a lengthy tshuva. His argument is, minhagim are based on consent. So we could be medame minhagim to nedorim. And benedorim, we rely on a umdina adate dehoche loy nodar. It's reasonable to assume that when Klal Yisrael, Ashkenaz, Ashkenaz were makabel the minig of kitnius, they weren't makabel the minig in extreme cases of famine or for aniyim, and therefore the Divrei Malkiel, like the Shoel HaMeishiv, when the financial going is bad, he is makel la aniyim. And his argument is, adata dohocha loy nodar, adata dohocha lo kiblo al atzman. And then the Mishnah Bura writes, poshut sheyesh lohocha lachoy l'sheim bo yisakona. And I think that is also a powerful argument. The Mishnah Bura doesn't quote this from any achroinim. It's his own argument. Choy l'sheim bo yisakona, we could be makel kitnius. Why is it so poshut? Because chodesh ebeskon is different than aniyim. And in many sources in Eilocho, we find chazal were mekel bederabonon lechodesh ebeskon. Helech ha-shabes, shin chof chesif yud zayin, there are 2 days. One day is, we are lenient with all the shvusim regarding chodesh ebeskon. Shechanoch is machmir. We are only mater amir lenochri, not other shvusim. Gemara mefreshes psochim chof hayom et beis. Shelo kederech achile, shelo kederech anua, muta lachoy l'shem b'sakona. Where else do we find the kula b'choy l'shem b'sakona? Dalad taniyos, even Tisha B'av. Tov kuf nun dalad in shechanoch, is muta lachoy l'shem b'sakona. So if we're makel by dalad tzoymes, which are tekonis neviyim, we're makel by shvusim in Shabbos, we're makel shelo kederech achile, in Mesechet Psochim, then by definitely we could be mekel b'choyla regarding kitnius. Would that apply to our case of a choyla tzeliak? No, I don't think so. It has nothing to do with the din of choyla. Why not? Who is defined as a choyla? This is a major discussion regarding Hilchos Shabbos, only nofal mishkav or choyla kol gufoy. Not everybody that has a medical condition would be defined as a choyla in Hilchos Shabbos. However, I wrote various different shuvas, and I think Bedinei Tzoymois, or Shar Derabbanans, this requirement is not needed. This is only by Shabbos. Because in Loino for the Mishkav, Chazal Bechlal Asard administering medicine. Shami Yishrik Samamoni. So by Shabbos, we must find a compromise. Which Choy L'Shem B'Sekona are we Mekel Shavuzim? And which Choy L'Shem B'Sekona were we B'Chlal Asar even taking medicine? So we must find some compromise. And the compromise is Nofel HaMishkav. Regarding other halachos, anybody that has a medical condition. However, a medical condition which causes him a need to eat. He's shvach. He's ill. He's weaker than other people. He's not feeling well. He'll feel better if he could eat. But this person that has celiac, as long as he doesn't eat grain, he is healthy as anyone else. He doesn't have the flu. He doesn't have a bad cold. He doesn't have a fever. He's not shvach. He's not staying home. As long as he doesn't partake and eat grains, he is as healthy as anyone else, as strong as anyone else. His problem is he doesn't have what to eat and he's hungry. So the problem we're dealing with is not an ailment. It's not a sickness. The problem we're dealing with is hunger. So we cannot rely on any leniency regarding the din of choila. But on the other hand, I do argue, loy gora ma'aniyim, loy gora memisha ein loy ma'alechoil. He fits the criteria of ein loy ma'alechoil. And it's bitul simchus yantiv. And b'mokayim, that a person will suffer from hunger all 7 yemei ha'chag, and it's a bitul of mitzvah simchus yantiv, loy gazru. And I would be lenient regarding kidneys. I am aware that probably the person did not rely on my heter. I am aware of that. And I think it's good. It's good. Because for an Ashkenazi from Jew to eat kidneys is, I wouldn't say it's like eating chaza, chas v'sholom. We do need to have our priorities right. But I think he would prefer try to push himself in eating some more eggs and more potatoes and more apples and oranges and whatever it is, and not to eat kidneys. But by pure halachic ruling and halachic criteria, I say in these circumstances and in that condition, one could eat kidneys. So I think it all boils down to one line. When there is no reason to be makel, kidneys is an issa gomer ve'ein lahakel b'irosh. When there is reason to be makel, we could be makel far more than by any issa derabbanan, as I proved for various different sources.
About Shabbat after?
Yes, that is a totally different sugya, which I did not plan to speak about today. But this year, Shabbos comes right after Shavuot Yeshua Pesach. Could one prepare kidneys Erev Yom Tov, Erev Shavuot Yeshua Pesach, or Shavuot Yeshua Pesach relying on Erev Tavshilin? That is a very interesting question. And it comes up many times when a person makes a Sholem Zohar, Shabbos after Pesach. How could you have a Sholem Zohar without Arbis? You're not Yaitza. And the baby wouldn't forgive you when he will become aware in due time that there was no Arbis on his Sholem Zohar. So could you prepare Arbis, which is definitely kidneys, the Kuli Alma, and cook Arbis to have the Sholem Zohar Shabbos by night? It's no longer Pesach. But you could you prepare those Arbis? And this touches upon various different sugyas. Would it be muktzah on Yom Tov? Would Erev Tavshilin apply? Because Erev Tavshilin is based on Hoyel v'Mikla Le'orchem. Well, there's always a chance that some Sephardi guests might come in, and Sephardim could eat kidneys on Yom Tov. So, yes, the psak is you could prepare kidneys for Shabbos after Yom Tov. It could be done.
Chronic medicines that have kidney opinion?
Yes, when we're dealing with medicines, if we're dealing with capsules that one swallows and not chewables that have an appealing taste, one could take any medicine on Pesach. That have kidneys, definitely. Even medicines that might have a cheshash chometz. If it's not really essential, skip it. If you could have an equivalent medicine that's kosher Pesach, take it. But when we're dealing with life-saving medicines, one should not even try to change his medicine. And one could take medicines if he really has a life-threatening condition, even medicines that have achshash chometz, kal v'chomer. Medicines that have achshas kidneys are no issue and no problem at all. Yes.
I understand the inyan of minig if you have a particular area which is going away because there's a chashash. So then it becomes a minig, and even though in this particular place it doesn't apply, so we don't want to change the minig of Israel. But we're talking one generation, 10 generations later, because they were noig 10 generations before when it was relevant, today it's not relevant. Why can't we just say this minig just doesn't exist? Because no one would do it just because they did it 10 generations ago. It's a new world, basically. It's a theoretical question. I'm not trying to suggest any practical changes.
It's a new... Yes, I like... First of all, Mr. Rosenbaum, you're a man of words and you express yourself very clearly. And I would say it's a new world with ancient values and ethics and menhagim. That is our world. And that is our greatness. A new world with ancient values, ethics, norms, and customs that we cherish and we cling on to. Yes, that is what makes us unique. So menhagim are binding, and maybe we should dedicate a special shiur to Torah and Minag, and we will differentiate different criteria of menhagim. Basically, minig is about minig hamokoim. And then there's a question of minig avos. Are they the same or two different concepts? Very interesting ha'ora, very interesting comment. Mogen Avraham is a Mesamaches, quotes Kizvei Ha'ari. And the Mogen Avraham very commonly quotes Kizvei Ha'ari. And then he speaks about Nusach HaTfilah. And that he says a person should never change the Nusach HaTfilah of his forefathers. And when the Mogen Avraham quotes that he quotes him Belshoinoi. He changes one word. Instead of Minig Avois, Minig Hamokoim. And that is noteworthy because he quotes the Lashon of the Ari, changes one word. Which proves that the Mogen Avraham feels that Minig Avos actually means Minig Hamokoim. For hundreds of years, people lived in the same shtetelach and same towns because, yes, it was an old world, a world without mass transportation and communications, and it was only natural if Jews weren't uprooted and hounded and chased and persecuted, then they lived in the same shtetl. So Minig Avos actually is Minig Hamokoim. And most poskim say that the fact your father had a minig is not mechayev the children to adhere to the same minhagim. However, when we're speaking about the minig of an Edo, that's different. And that is what is unique about kidneys. As the Ramo puts it, as the Tumas Edeshin puts it, it is a minig kehilois Ashkenaz. So wherever they went, but they were still kehilos Ashkenaz, and they adhered to this minig. And yes, menhagim are binding, even though maybe in a changing world they would be less relevant, but they're still binding. I also think that I mentioned before, at least one of the two reasonings of this minig is still relevant. Because even in our day of technological advance, but when you buy quantities of rice and peeled corn, sometimes you have kernels of grains in those sacks, even today. And I check this with professionals in the field. So even today, yes, there is a teroivis of grains sometimes in various different types of kidneys. Well, I am convinced that the svardim that eat kidneys on Pesach have special kidneys kosher of Pesach, which are definitely foolproof, and they don't eat chometz on Pesach, and they don't have oats or barley in their kidneys. I'm very well aware of that. However, we cannot say that the minig is no longer relevant. Basically, it is relevant. The fact that you have a good hechsher wouldn't change minig Ashkenaz. Even today, if it's not kosher le Pesach, it would be common to have other grains in rice or in other forms of kidneys.
Are there variations in the definition of kidney?
Of course there are. Of course there are. I think somebody made a comment. Oh, he left. I think it was Moshe Kaplan. Or maybe someone else made this comment. Corn is not a European breed. Who made that comment? Oh, you made the comment. So Reb Moshe's approach is that kidneys is only those species that were available and common 1,000 years ago when this takana was established. And that is why Reb Moshe says you could eat peanuts on Pesach, and peanuts would not be defined as kidneys because peanuts came from the New World back to Europe. And Reb Moshe says that is why potatoes are permitted, even though people even today use potato starch. And they make cookies and cakes, Pesach, out of potato starch. So why wouldn't potatoes be kidneys? So the Moshe says because potatoes, like peanuts, were discovered by the Spaniards, Christopher Columbus and some of his friends that discovered the New World, the Americas, and they brought potatoes back to Europe. And therefore, potatoes are not kidneys, and neither are peanuts. That's the Moshe's approach. But I think that's a mistake because same applies to corn. Corn is not a European species, and corn was brought from America to Europe roughly the same time that potatoes were brought from the Americas to Europe. And the same applies to quinoa. Quinoa was not known in North America. It comes from Western South America, from the Inca, who used quinoa. And in the last 20 or 30 years, it became very popular in the modern world, in America and in Israel as well. So according to the Moshe, quinoa would not be defined as kidneys, but neither would corn. And all the poiskim say that corn is definitely kidneys, which disputes the Moshe's approach. In my opinion, the Rishonim never compiled a list what is kidneys. There were no lists. If there would be a list, we would have it. And none of the Rishonim that we have give us a list what is kidneys and what is not. So in my opinion, bearing in mind that it wasn't a takana, but rather a minig, the minig was all forms of kidneys which are used in a similar way as grains, starch, grains that are used for cooking cereal or baking bread were included in the prohibition of kidneys, without specifying exactly which they are. And therefore, it is not relevant whether a certain species was available in Europe 1,000 years ago or not. Corn wasn't available in Europe 1,000 years ago, and it is kidneys. And there are many different approaches in the Achronim why potatoes are not kidneys. I think the most reasonable approach is just because of their size. They don't resemble grains. The common denominator of all Chameshes Min HaDagon is they're small. So corn, rice, beans are approximately more or less the same size as grains. One potato is as big as 500 kernels of barley or wheat or oats. And all the others grow al pnei ha'soda. Potatoes grow underground. And therefore potatoes are very different than grains. And that is why potatoes are not kidneys. Regardless of the fact Were there potatoes 1,000 years ago in Europe? That's not the point, and therefore I disagree with the Moshe and his basic approach to kidneys. So I think quinoa would be kidneys. But still, if somebody has to be makel, better to be makel by quinoa and by suffer kidneys than by beans, corn, rice, which is universally agreed by all the poskim that they are defined as kidneys. So for kidneys, one definitely could be more makel. So we discuss the sugya of kidneys, ma'inyan la'inyan ba'oisi o'inyan, and I think we dealt with very interesting shaylas. But I want to come back to the introduction to today's shia. Shema b'nimus al-avicho v'al titishtoy l'simecho, and menhogam are extremely important. One cannot overstate the importance of menhogam. And many times I say that Yiddishkeit is not only about halacha. Yiddishkeit is about halacha and mesoides. And those are the two pillars of the entire building. Those are the two pillars of our entire system. It is halacha and mesoides. And many times people say, I want to know whether it's halacha. And I do not respond. And I say, it's not relevant, and I don't have to fulfill your curiosity, or I just want to know whether it's halacha. Minig is halacha, because Rabbi Yochanan was the greatest amora, and Rabbi Yochanan paskin that menhogam are binding. Divrei Kabbalah, Shema b'nei Musa l'avicho v'al titash Torah samecho. So menhogam are binding. So when a person wants to differentiate, is it halacha? Of course it's halacha. Minhogim are halacha. And the mesoides is as important as other areas of halacha. But Pesach, I think we find a very special emphasis on minhogim beyond what we find in any other Yom Tov, any other time of the year. Why is that? So I share with you just a feeling, Libi Oimali. And what merit were we salvaged from Golas Mitzrayim? Wasn't about halacha. Was before Matan Torah. We had no halachas. And Chazal teach us, Shaloshinu es Lishoinam, es Levusham, es Shemam. That was all about tradition. It was all about minag. It couldn't have been anything else because we had no halachas. It was before Matan Torah. But we had menhagim. We had tradition. Avraham Avinu kiyam kol ha-Torah kulan shelo nitno. There was no chiyuv. Avraham wasn't mechiyuv. Neither was Yitzchak, nor was Yaakov, and nor was anyone else until Matan Torah, until Nasa v'Nishma. So what brought us out of Golas Mitzrayim was only tradition, was only Mesoides, was only the Menhogim. And we fiercely cling down to those Menhogim. And in more than 200 years of Golas, generation after generation, Lo Shin was Shemom, Lo Shin was Levusham, Lo Shin was Lishoinam, and those were Menhogim. That was only tradition. That was only the ways of our fathers and forefathers. And that is why Pesach, there is special emphasis on Menhogim. Whether it's kidneys or it's many other Menhogim. Shruya. So Hasidim don't eat Shruya. And Hasidim are very makbet about not eating Shruya. And I think the reason Minhag has so much room, and so much emphasis, Shruya is gebrokt, you know, in Lashon Kodesh. So my feeling is, why are Menhogim so important, especially Pesach? Because that is how we got to have Pesach. And that is how we were zoiche to Geulas Mitzrayim. It is only in the source of Menhogim. And Klal Yisrael clinging, desperately clinging, with all its power to the Menhogim of our Oves, of our forefathers, and that is why we find Torah Saminig so much more on Pesach than at any other time of the year. So we should be zoicha to go b'dakei avos. And Chazal say, kol ha'olech b'dakei avos, ani miskoyim olo b'schus avos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember, chazdei avos, and schus avos, u'beglal avos, toshia bonim, v'sovei ge'ule levnei b'neiem, B'Biyaz Goel Tzedek, B'Mehero V'Yomeinu Omein. Next week we will have Shir as usual.